JC2S, Part 2. Number 9A.
So when I saw that, I thought, gee, it's just how impersonal the subject is, how it's that mind of Christ. We can see why Mrs. Eddy said, I was a willing disciple at the heavenly gates waiting for the mind of Christ. Because if we are translating a transparency to the mind of the Christ, that Christ uses us in his translation and retranslation to be as the prophets and Jesus and Mrs. Eddy and John Dorley and Max have been great whales in this subject. And we can see it just in this method of text interpretation, how it's a Christ at work in its translation and retranslation. But for us, born of the flesh, it must be a discovery. We discover now what these pioneers have given us, and therefore we also take on that mind of Christ, that truth consciousness. And so therefore, what we do is we go out through that method then of how can we work with these epitomes that have come to us through that conscious truth consciousness, through that consciousness of the first and second translation. Well, we do that then by how Max shows us on page 5, how to take the findings of a pioneer, of a scientist, and culture ourselves in the findings. Because we know, as it has been said, Einstein, I think, said then, that I stand on the shoulder of giants that go before me. That we take the findings and culture ourselves in the findings. We don't, as a young student, question the findings until we go along. We know the integrity of the scientific method. We're not questioning it because we follow our leaders, but we know that they use scientific methods, and we know the scientific method behind how they ascertain the synonyms from the textbook, as Max gave us for the rules, studying the synonyms behind the textbook. We've seen their scientific methods. We know the integrity of those methods. So on an understanding of the integrity of their scientific methods, we can build on the shoulders of the giants that giants have gone before. So we will work out from the epitomes just to help ourselves get a handle of this subject of theology. So we say, how can we work with the epitomes of the textbook? And we read together now page 5 to 6. The student's aim. What should be our aim in working with the following epitomes? Different from most interpreters of revealed texts, such as the Bible or the textbook, the student should not expect to analyze or produce a commentary on each sentence of the textbook. Such an endeavor would distract us from what the epitomes are uniquely trying to show. The purpose of epitomes is not to illumine the meaning of each sentence, but rather to reveal the overriding spiritual structure of the text. Accordingly, in working with these epitomes, our purpose must be to use them as a means for drilling ourselves in the categories of being and for cultivating a spiritually structured consciousness. The student's attitude towards the present findings. How should we regard the following epitomes? One must first realize that these findings are the result of a lifetime of research and refinement. Although this does not preclude further refinement, it does indicate many years of testing and weighing the findings against the text and the structure of being itself. As a result, these epitomes represent spiritual tones that have been lived and practiced, pondered not through mere thinking, but through life experience, and a living consciousness of the categories of divine being. In a true scientific spirit, the spirit does well to accept these findings as a working hypothesis, rather than debating the findings. One finds that it is more instructive and fruitful to ask, point what? One, what categories are indicated through these epitomes? Point two, how does the text express these categories? Point three, what is the logical flow, order, and development of these epitomes? If one is unable to answer these questions, the solution lies in cultivating a more spiritual sense of the tonality of the three categories of being, the 15 root notions and their ideas. Since only like can understand like, it takes a spiritually scientific consciousness to grasp the spiritually scientific content of the epitomes and their correlation with the text. We must know the language of spirit before we can hear its tones behind the symbols and expressions of the human language used in the textbook. Consequently, when one is learning the language of spirit, it is wise to let the epitomes help in culturing such an understanding, rather than passing judgment on the findings before we are fully schooled in the new tongue. How then can the epitomes, in necessary conjunction with the textbook, further the spiritual education? And so he just goes on to give an elaboration of these 3 points that we will work with now all the rest of the week. Always point one, and you have it in the book on page 5. One, what categories are indicated through these epitomes? So we'll always start the subject each day with the epitomes. First of all, the epitome for the overall main tone of life. And we will read the epitome Max gives us, and we'll ask ourselves about that epitome of life. What categories are indicated through this epitome of life that he is giving us as the main tone of life? You needn't turn to it, but I just want to say it. For example, if the main epitome for life is that the one life lifts theology from a dead to a living practical Christianity, we're going to ask ourselves, what categories are indicated in this epitome? And then, when we go on to life is mind, which says that the Christ spirit is revealed only to the receptive thought, we're going to ask, what are the categories in that life as mind epitome? And after we just ask ourselves, what are the categories in those epitomes, and we talk it out together, trying to hear how those epitomes are just epitomizing categories in being, then we're going to turn to the textbook itself, and we're going to read together the text, and we're going to ask ourselves point two, how does the text express these categories? And we're going to try to hear the categories in the text itself, and we're going to mark the text according to how we think we hear the categories expressed in the text together. And then once we have done that, then we're going to tonality build. We're going to say, well, now, how do I become one with what that text is saying so that it becomes our consciousness and our very own being? And after we have done then the whole tone of life that way, then we're going to see the logical flow and order and development of these epitomes. We're going to see how the epitome for the main tone of life flows to the subject of life is mind, life is spirit, life is soul, life is principle, life is truth, life is love through the epitomes, and hear the logical flow in the epitomes. So that's that culturing of the scientists in us, that symphonic structure within us, as a scientist, and then, as I said, we will build it up through consciousness and tonality. So what we want to do then is to see that the coloring that we will do, the coloring from the divine system of reference that we have, we know then that all of us can have different colors if we like. There is no holy order to the colors. Some people like to do it according to the rainbow, but that's no holy order to the rainbow colors. That's just the way it appears. The rainbow appears in the physical realm. That's where physical white light through the prism, as Newton showed us, appears in the spectrum of red, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, green, indigo, violet. That whole color of the spectrum. So that's a possibility of using the rainbow colors. But they don't have any spiritual meaning as far as we want to give them. We just want to say that they're just there to mark our text at this point. So we say then that at this point that we're just using those colors as symbols. I think I only digress a bit because I feel that if we try to reduce now colors and music to the capitalized terms, I think that's putting the cart before the horse. Perhaps someday the language of music and the language of art will be seen as reflecting the spiritual language. I'm not saying that there isn't a translated form to the tones of music and the tones, colors of in art, where God comes to the world and has its impact on music and it has impact on art and brings it back up into the science of God. That's possible, but I'm just saying let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's not be into numerology, giving special powers to colors or to tones, which is not our subject. They always, regardless how we'll see them in the future, they're always just symbols, taking us back to the language of God, which is the language of the capitalized terms. So, therefore, we see then that the colors I've shown are just the colors that Max has used and has shown me and his other students, that he just put under mind, as we saw last year, black. Because from what I remember, he said he just had maybe a pencil in his hand and he just drew it black. Then picked up for spirit red and for soul, it's nice for soul to have a darker yellow because the lighter yellow often isn't seen on the paper. For principle, purple, for life, brown, for truth, blue, and love, green. And as I said earlier in our session last year and in this time, that then when he went over to the operation of God, because it's the word of life, he just used the word in the his life color is brown, and because it's a Christ truth, he used the Christ in his truth color of blue, and because it's the love of Christianity, he used the love color of green for Christianity, and because it's a divine principle love, he used the principle color for science in the fourfold operation. And then when he came over to the science levels, he just used the color of principle for the science itself level, because that's that realm of the infinite principle. And because divine science has the tone of divine principle love behind it, he used the color love. And because absolute Christian science has that tone of the 6,000-year period, that truth consciousness, he used that tone of truth blue. And because Christian science has that tone of life behind it, he used the tone of brown, color brown. So, therefore, these are our colors, and we will work with them. So, what we will do then this afternoon, as I say, we'll take the epitome. First of all, we're going to follow our order in this. And what I'd like you to do now is to color your epitomes. Don't color them now as you're looking at mine. We want to do it together. But I want you this afternoon to go in and see if you can begin coloring your epitomes. First of all, taking just the life main epitome and color it how you feel it is according to the capitalized terms, and then color the life as mind epitome and see how you feel it is according to the capitalized terms. Then I would like us to turn to page 131 in the textbook, where it begins theology. And then do point two. How does the text express these categories? So, at noon, if you haven't done so already during the year, go in and say, can I hear how the text now expresses this category of life as mine on page 131, line 2, to page 133, line 18, that's that whole point of life is mine. Therefore, see then if we can go in, as I say, said from page 131.13 to page 133.18, and beginning to hear, if you can hear, that overall tonality of life in mind behind the text. And color it. You'd have predominantly, if you're using Max's colors, brown and black. If you're using your own colors, you'll have predominantly the color you have for life and the color you have for mind. Occasionally you'll hear behind it that this theology is based on principle, so you'll sometimes have the color for principle there. And you'll always sometimes have the color for the Christ there, which is Max's color for blue. So you'll have, it's a symphonic structure. We're not just going to hear life and mind, but she'll always remind us that this is the Christ going on. So we'll have the subject of the Christ in its translation and retranslation. And she often referred back to saying, and this is a life that, a principle that lives. But generally, to make life easy, just go in, first of all, to hear the life as mind tones. And try not to get confused by all the details. Just listen as best you can using the epitomes as the guide. And then we'll come to class, and I'm here to help. We'll work it out together. We'll talk it out together. And always realizing it's the method that matters, not the answers. We're teaching how to fish, not to give us fishes. So when we go home, we have the method. If you feel still you don't get it, we have the bigness of a scientist to realize I'm not a religionist. I didn't come for answers. I came for a method. I'll go home and learn it. I know as a student, I always wished and thought, gee, wouldn't it be fun to ask questions all the time? And I thought, no, I'm going to work this out myself and as much as I could to the fidelity of the subject, go home over the year and work it out myself. Always happy to come to the summer school to get the method and to go home over the year to struggle with it myself. So we're not going to be discouraged if we don't hear every single tone, are we? We're just going to get then out of the concept building in the class, at least the spirit behind it and the method behind it, and we will all go home filled full with the subject of theology and medicine. Yes, so we always want to question why do we do something, why do we have to do this and that and the other thing. So we just see that in relationship to text interpretation, we say, well, why do we have to do text interpretation? We see now that we're at then that standpoint of truth, and that truth now we know comes through science and understanding. As we said, through that scientist in us, which is always at work to discover through the scientific methods what our true identity is as the Son of the Living God. So that is something that is understood within our consciousness, and therefore what understanding is demonstration. So through science and understanding now we will glean through text interpretation those big points of the textbook, then through science, what is reality? And consciousness, how do I become one with that reality? And we will find, therefore, what is reality and how I become one with reality behind the Bible, because scientific text interpretation opens up what is reality behind the Bible. And also the subject is the method, how I become one with that reality. And then it opens up behind the textbook, what is reality? And then how I become one with the reality as explained in the textbook. And most important, driving towards the point of being able to see what is reality and how do I become one with reality behind our everyday life experience. So you see, scientific text interpretation is not only just to open up the books, the textbooks, but also to open up the text of life experience. There is where we get faced with scientific text interpretation every day. And it's if we can hear the tonalities behind the Bible of the categories of being and the tonalities behind the textbook of the categories of being, they're like our textbooks. They're training us in this category recognition consciousness. And when we have a category recognition consciousness, that will open up a recognition of the categories behind what is happening in our lives every day. And that's what's most important. So we can be grateful that we have the Bible and the textbook to practice text interpretation, because they are our the books that we learn this method through, and therefore we enjoy practicing that there is a text that we can learn this method through. So when we're faced not with reading words going in front of our eyes when we look out at life experience, but we're actually experiencing those words that the textbook writes about, that is something different. So already in life experience, we have to make another shift, because the words aren't in front of us especially. They come through an experience. But that experience is just, the words are just a symbol for that experience. So as I said, thank goodness we have the text with words that train us to begin to hear tonality. So when we experience those words, we can hear the tonality of that experience in our consciousness. So it says, we have said, and I've said, and just repeated what Max has said, that this subject isn't black on white, is it? That's what soul says. We have to make the journey from sense to soul. It's a journey in our life experience. It's a life experience. It's a living experience. And we already can see now with our subject how grateful we are to be hearing tonality. Just even as we see this big subject of the Christ that we now begin to see when we come into a chaotic experience, that we know that that principle is restructuring us. It's taking us out of one set of conditions, restructuring us, which we call chaos, into another state of conditions called a higher order. Or we know now when we get a physical claim or a bodily claim comes up in our life, we don't say, oh, now where have I gone wrong in Christian Science, and turn away from it. But we know that because of what the Christ has brung to us in understanding, we understand the idea, and it's our understanding of science then we have seen analyzes and uncovers the error, and that the error is on its way out. If we didn't understand text interpretation, we would then, as I said this morning, be fatalistic. We would say, well, that's now my problem, and identify with that problem, grab hold of the problem, and just not let it go, saying it's my problem and it won't leave until I, so to speak, die. That's fatalism, as we saw. So now we learn through text interpretation when a problem comes along, that's just that second degree of uncovering, and we just step out of the way and let the problem destroy itself, because the Christ has brought it up, and we put the problem behind us, get out of the way, and just focus on that which has brought it forth, the truth. And that truth then takes ascendancy in our consciousness, and that truth makes us free. Because with a consciousness filled with ideas, against such a consciousness there is no law. So we already know by hearing tonality of the divine system of reference in our life, that is what we are after. That's practical, isn't it? So now we're grateful to have this ability to practice, aren't we, on these texts. Because it's really going to be something, as I say, when the words disappear and the experiences take their place. So we now keep our focus on this point and return to this subject of theology. And I'll just show the flow from science to theology, where we have seen then that we are coming then from that standpoint of science, that standpoint which had its basis on mind, spirit, soul principle. Mind, spirit, and soul are the foundation of the principle. We've learned that in our compendium study, that mind, spirit, and soul are always giving us that creative principle. They define the principle. And so now we have the principle, which is on a spiritual basis and not on a material basis, because it's based on mind, not mortal mind, on spirit, not matter, on soul, not soul testimony. So as we come into theology, we will see then that this principle lives, that this principle has life. So what we are experiencing in the subject of theology is then a science that lives, a living science, a life science, you could say. Or it's a life principle. Already we begin to hear it has something different than organized religion. That theology then is actually a state of consciousness that is always welcoming the living principle love. See, because we saw that the science of God is based on a principle love, and that principle love we now know as given to us in the model of being, that really real theology is just a consciousness always operating out from that living principle love. So in this chapter, at this point of theology, we'll have always her giving us a dimensional explanation of life. We'll hear life appearing in many different ways. First of all, she'll refer to that sense of life from divine science. That life is that self-existent being. That life is that self-existing power, which is a self-organizing power, which is always going to drive us to go forward. It's that life power which is always operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. That cybernetic power which is always feeding back on itself, causing us to spiral higher and higher from a boundless, unconfined basis. Life will lift away these restrictions on the put on us through the mortal concept. Then that self-existent life, which is that life power, which is always a feedback power, which is always driving us to go forward, to go higher, appears then on the level of absolute Christian science in the textbook as that creative impulsion, as the drive of life, as the acceleration of life, as the multiplication of life, as the spontaneous breakthrough of life. We know that of life on Absolute Christian Science. Then we see that life on Christian Science has its impact, and that life comes to us as the newness of life, as the way of life, as the exaltation of life, as the regeneration of life, as the irrepressibleness of life, as the irresistibleness of life, as the pioneering spirit of life. So we have, therefore, this dimensional sense of life that we will be hearing. So we'll always say, therefore, that that life in divine science is the father, it's the origin, which always is coming out of that science level, out of that isness on the science level, which is always restructuring itself. Being is in that matrix of infinity, according to the law of infinity on the science level, as we've seen, is always constantly restructuring its isness, like a kaleidoscope. Being is, but it restructures what it is. And when it restructures what it is, we get a new image. That's what happens in a kaleidoscope, isn't it?